What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday with me, Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and he, Noel Brown.
Noel, the Christ child Brown.
Ooh, well, touch me, sir. Bless me.
Happily. My middle name is Christian, in case I've never expressed that on the podcast before.
I think I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
W stands for Devil Boy.
That makes perfect sense. So we are the yin and the yang of the universe here in one podcast.
Some people call it the yin and the yang.
Yep, with the zen and the zang.
How are your holidays, my friend? In real time, this is the first recording for us for the new year.
That's right. My holiday was great. I had a proper 2 weeks off. I hadn't taken a second of vacation all year, and I just, you know, used it in one fell swoop at the end, and I needed every second of it, Chuck.
What did you do?
I didn't do much. I hung out with my kid and her mom and our little extended family pod, and did Christmas morning there and exchanged gifts and just kind of vegged, man. I got Last of Us 2.
Where are you in that game?
We're talking about the
PlayStation game?
Yes, sir. PlayStation. I didn't get a 5. I wasn't a good enough boy this year.
Man.
But I don't need it, man. I'm not an early adopter with that stuff. I think the 4 looks great, man. Last of Us.
Like, what else do you need?
I mean, I don't even know. I'll get it one day. But why? I mean, this one works fine. Yeah, I think the thing that's maybe divisive is just that, like, this isn't a spoiler, I don't think. You're playing both sides, literally. You're your main character, and then you're this kind of side character who is basically your own nemesis, and it pits you against each other, but it's like emotionally complex because you're literally having to control the actions of two opposing forces. And I'm not far in at all, but I can already tell it's going to be a gut wrencher.
Yeah. So maybe we should get Annie at some point and once you finish and the three of us will talk about it a little bit on a kind of a brief Movie Crusher game segment.
Mm-hmm.
I will just sort of quickly say that I enjoyed it while I was playing it because the gameplay is just as great. It looks amazing. It's still fun killing those goddamn zombie people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun and scary and awesome. And then I'll just stop there and I'll save the rest of my review for when we do that.
That sounds like a plan. I think we're both on the same page and loving the first one. And I agree. It took me a minute because it'd been a long time since I played. I kind of forgot. You really do have to be super sneaky. Otherwise, you get got pretty quick. So
got
to
sneak around, brother.
You got to sneak around. And then you just stab those zombies right in the face.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, too, satisfying. When you're playing multiple games, the different, you know, keeping straight the movements and the buttons and, you know, jumping when you want to jump and crouching when you want to crouch and all that good stuff.
It's especially difficult if you play on two different systems that have different button layouts. So I've been playing a lot of Switch, and like where the X, like the bottom button in the row of, you know, little triangle or diamond of buttons is sort of your main button on the Switch. It's the one to the right. So sometimes I'll like forget which system I'm on and be hitting the wrong button like a Looney Tune. But yeah.
Don't they know that people consume a great deal of marijuana that play these games?
I think they know that. I think
make
they
them all
that.
The same.
Yeah, well, you know, the Japanese, man. They're well, no, PlayStation's Japanese, too. What am I talking about? Nationality has nothing to do with button layout. It's just kind of one of those things that's always been. And I guess Nintendo has always kind of had the other layout, maybe. I don't know. But love both systems. And what else did I get? I got one other cool game. Oh yeah, just like been playing a lot of Super Smash Brothers online with friends over the holidays, and cool. Mario Kart. Love that stuff. How about you, man? What'd you had a nice little chill family Christmas, it looked like, with the kiddo.
I did. I had 3 weeks. I'm not going to say off. I had 3 weeks off from Stuff You Should Know, which is you know, obviously the lion's share of my job. Mm-hmm. Still had to do Stuff You Should Know-y kind of things, but I tried to check out as much as possible. It was good. I love my family, and it's great to be with them always.
Sure.
So we had a good time. It was fine. My mom spent the night Christmas Eve. She's the only family I saw because we've been seeing her. And, you know, it hurt not to go see my brother and stuff, but it's just not the thing to do right now for us. So we're going to wait, man. We're getting close.
Yeah, I had to kind of win my mom over and not throwing her under the bus at all. I love her dearly. We're just, you know, from a different generation. And like, she really wanted to do a big family Christmas thing. And like, it's not that she doesn't think that the virus is real. I just kind of had to be like, this isn't the year to do that. Let's wait till next year when it feels right and everyone can feel safe and there's nobody that has any inkling of questions whether it's okay or not. And she agreed, and we did. We just kept it very small. I went and visited her briefly and then came back. It was nice.
Where's your mom living these days? Is she in Augusta?
She's in Augusta, which is where I kind of grew up. I went to high school there. And,
I didn't know she was still there.
She still lives there, yeah.
That's good. What kind of drive is that?
2 hours.
2 hours?
2 hours on the dot. Yep.
Nice. Very nice, Noel. So we're back. It's 2021. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. I do want to start off with a thread. I don't want to get into everything, but I just do think that everyone could use some positivity these days for many, many reasons. And so I just asked the Crushers, Noel, movie related or not, just what's one thing you're looking forward to? And it doesn't even have to be like after COVID. Just what's one thing you want to do this year? What's one thing you want to accomplish or get done? Just anything that's going to make your life a little rosier. I'll let you think on that. And I'll read some of these. Helen Lyons, one of our old friends, says, "This is really so insipid seeming, but I can't wait to get a manicure again. It's a little bit of self-care that makes me feel way more put together than I really am. And somehow doing it myself just isn't the same." And I got to say, Helen got a lot of, including for myself, a lot of support for self-care. And that's not insipid to get a manicure or a massage.
Oh, are you kidding?
It's no, huge. It's like you got to do that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very important to your well-being.
I actually got a pedicure over the holiday with the lady that I'm seeing. We went and got a couple's pedicure. Everyone's masked up. You know, and the pedicure places, they were ahead of all of us with the masks because they do all the like nail painting. So they're always wearing masks. But they, you know, limited capacity. And we just went in and did that. And that's something I like to do for myself because I'm a bit of a bougie boy in that respect. But it was a little
nice.
Did
you go to Treat Your Feet on Buford Highway?
No, I do like that place. That's more for a foot and leg rub. This was like the thing where they kind of scrape the dead just skin the off your feet. And then they trim your nails and give you a leg rub and you'd have a foot bath. It's very relaxing and you're in a massage chair the whole time. It's kind of delightful.
Well, Noel, I like you, my friend, but I don't want to be near your feet.
Hey, that you don't have to. There's professionals for that.
I hope you tipped well.
Of course. How dare you, Chuck? I take care of my feet.
Well, it sounds like it.
Yeah. You'd
pay to have it done.
No doubt.
At least.
Uh-huh.
Melissa Landry says, if we get to a place with COVID where I could hug my grandmother again, that would be an okay year. Oh, yeah. God. Heartstrings, Melissa. Heartstrings.
I just want to go see a concert.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you and I are going to be some concert going motherfuckers when this thing's over. Everyone will be.
Yeah,
it'll be great. I can't wait.
I wonder
can't
what that's going to take.
Mosh pit.
What's that going to take, though, Chuck? Because it's like, you know, people are going to get vaccinated, and then some people aren't. So does it? If people that are vaccinated are safe from the people that aren't, right? Or no? Like, how do you see that playing out?
If you get vaccinated, you are safe from getting COVID, but you can still transmit the coronavirus to someone else
who's
not vaccinated. So that's why they're like, you're still going to have to wear your mask if you're like if you have a dinner party with eight people that are all vaccinated in your home, I reckon, and you're fully vaccinated, I reckon that you're good to go. I would think. Well, not really, because you could still pass the coronavirus to one of them, and they could then pass it to someone who's not vaccinated. Oh, boy, just everyone get vaccinated.
Yeah, man.
I think as far as concerts, and this is just a guess, is they may get to a place where you have like a vaccination ID card or something.
Yeah, they have
in order to get into a place.
Like a credential or something, like a passport stamp, you know?
I hope so.
I hope so too. I have a buddy who works for Columbia Medical in New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all, a lot of the healthcare workers are getting vaccinated first. And he just got his first dose and said it really hurt his arm. Okay. And the second dose is supposed to make you real sick.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh, and then you're done. And then you're good.
I think it probably depends on who you are. I've quite a few friends who have gotten it now, which is great. And my mom is getting it Saturday.
Great. That's got to feel good.
It does. It feels great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm telling her like, hey, mom, this means you're 50% there. And this means that you can still carry the virus and give it to other people. And, but you know, the important thing is she'll be protected, which is great.
1,000,000%.
All right. Let me go with Caitlin Callaghan, a top friend. She says, I had a top friend, top fan, and friend. I had my son in October, and man, I'm just excited to watch him grow. Yesterday, he figured out he can hold things, and just watching his little world expand is beautiful. Oh, Caitlin, that's great. Just sit around and watch that kid. Good stuff.
Agreed.
Charles Martin Akers, one of our oldest pals, being a healthier person and focusing on family and self-improvement, and then going on trips that they had to cancel. Of course. I think we all had to cancel stuff, so be sure. Looking forward to rebooking that stuff. Lillian Rolfe is going to Disney in July and just traveling. Her middle school kid has been through a lot. Our oldest is graduating from high school in May and is off to college in the fall, so our family is truly doing well, all things considering. That's great to be positive like that. One of my favorite crushers, Ms. Daisy Christiana Abreu, says, I Abreu. I know she's going to laugh at that. I signed up for a writing workshop in hopes of kicking my practice back into gear once a week for 4 weeks with a writer whose work I enjoy and admire. A little nervous, but excited and proud of myself for taking the time and space to do it. Daisy, that's amazing. I love that. Self-betterment. Take those classes.
You know what's funny? I've always kind of toyed with the idea and been a little too scared taking improv classes, and Ben Bolin, who I do Ridiculous History and Stuff They Don't Want You to Know with, is taken in. From when I first met him, I would go to his like improv groups and stuff, and I always was really kind of in awe of those people. I love, you know, bad improv is awful and embarrassing, but when it's good, it's like watching a magic show. And I've been doing the podcast so long now.
Wait, the magic shows are terrible.
What are you talking about? I love magic shows. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Who even are you? You definitely like the Magic Castle.
I like the Magic Castle.
Well, those are fucking magic shows. The best of the best. Anyway, I'm a big fan of magic. So to me, that was a positive comparison. But
sure,
yeah, so if I was going to do a thing like that, I would just, you know, grow a pair and take some improv workshop classes here in Atlanta at Dad's Garage. That would be something I would, I think I should do, because we improv all the time. That's what podcast is. So I think I would probably not be awful at it. So
grow a pair of what, Noel?
A pair of testicles.
Hmm.
I'm like a Ken doll down there, Chuck.
Good Lord. Oh, boy, we finally gave in, and not gave in, but my daughter finally became aware of Barbie.
Oh, yeah. And nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, well, you know, we looked into it, and now they have career Barbies, and, you know, we have a farmer and a scientist, and what else? There's one other thing. The farmer's a chicken farmer. three Barbies. They're all career Barbies. Oh, a chef. And they all live together in a dream house, Noel.
Life in the dream house. That's a show. Have you seen the show? Fun. The CGI Barbie show, Life in the Dream House?
What the fuck do you think? No.
Oh, what? Why? That's our first intro into the Barbie universe, the extended universe.
No, and I think, Barbies, they have been problematic for some people here and there in the past. And
oh, maybe because of the shape, because of the hourglass shape and the...
I think they've toned that down now.
They did, for sure, but that was a big problem in the past because it was absolutely an quintessentially it's unattainable body. not a thing. No, for sure.
So we had mixed feelings, but she's got a level head. I think it'll be fine. Megan Carroll, one of her oldest friends. Megan and that cat in that picture, beautiful. We're already planning a camping trip for the spring and a pilgrimage to the Ryman to see one of our favorite bands in September. Oh, Megan, I've never been to the Ryman. I want to go. What band is that?
Yeah.
Write me and tell me.
Burying the lead there. I haven't been to the Ryman or the Grand Ole.
I went there when I was a little kid. I certainly don't remember it, but I want to go to the Ryman. It's on the list, and I think I got a Stuff You Should Know connection at the Ryman, if I'm not mistaken, who can give me a little backstage action.
Oh, yeah. I love a good backstage action. have you been to Robert's Western World in Nashville, Chuck?
I've never heard of that.
It's like it's an old honky-tonk. It's right there on the Strip. I guess it's Broadway. And it's like you just go in and there's like it's sort of like a divey type place. There's no cover. They just pass a hat for donations for the band, and it's nice. Like these old grizzled session guys that look like they can't, like, you know, with like meth mouth, you know, playing like,
I bet they play their ass off,
dude. They're wearing these like red like neckerchiefs and big 10-gallon hats, and there's a fiddler, and there's like a pedal steel player, and the singer just belts them out like it's like yodels and shit. I mean, it's just. You got to do it. I want to do that after COVID. It's an absolute joy. And people are just like, there's crust punks and like old people and like, you know, people in 10-gallon hats all kind of line dancing on the floor. It's just an absolute hootenanny. It's a real hootenanny, Chuck.
I'm going to go, Noel. That sounds amazing, because my one other great experience with something like that was going to the Broken Spoke in Austin, Texas.
Nice.
And it is an old school honky tonk with those same dudes that all worship at the altar of Conway Twitty. And the one thing I really wanted to do was get out there and dance. And I was frankly scared and intimidated because people really know what they're doing out there on that dance floor with that country dancing. And I just didn't do it. I was fucking frightened, but I wanted to. I was very dance jealous that day.
Totally. Yeah, I like to dance, but that kind of country dancing, it's so specific. Like, I can do like some kind of like, you know, whatever, generalized, you know, scooting around. But like that Nashville style of dancing is absolutely, you got to know the moves and the steps.
Yeah, it's intimidating. Generalized scooting around. I love it. Shake your ass, Noel.
Yeah, man.
I dance a lot in the house. Emily is like, why don't you ever dance out in public? Because you can do it. Tracy Fox says, really hoping for a vacation. We're going to try and go to Jamaica, but international travel still makes me a little nervous. But I'm doing some research for an early fall trip. Denver, Destin, Seattle, Washington, D.C. Those are all great cities, Tracy. And you can't go wrong with any of them. They're all marijuana legal cities except for Destin. So
for sure.
I'm not sure what you're hinting at. Just kidding. Daniel McCoy says, my brother and his family moved to London early last year, and I was supposed to visit them in April, hoping I'll get to see my brother and sister-in-law and get to play with the little monkeys disguised as my niece and nephews. I love that. Love little monkey nieces and nephews. Although I don't have any. They're all grown, Noel.
I don't have a lot of like extended family in that respect. I have a cousin who lives here in Atlanta that I haven't seen in 10 years. I definitely appreciate.
I don't see my cousins. Yeah. Don't feel bad.
Okay, fair enough.
I have a niece, Shelby, who is like, oh boy, what is Shelby, 26 or 7? My niece, Reagan, in New York, who's wonderful, is 24, 25. And then my nephew, Noah, my brother's son, is getting married in May. And he's graduated from college. And now my youngest niece, Abby, Noah's little sister, is in college now. And Just a beautiful young woman. It's great. Love those guys. Old friend Anna Shrestha. Fuck, Anna. Oh, I always have the hardest time. Shrestha. I am hopeful my husband's parents will finally be able to visit us. They live in Nepal and have never visited in 14 years. And my husband has lived in the 14 years my husband has lived in the U.S. They were supposed to be here for the birth of my son, but that couldn't happen because of the pandemic. Well, Anna, that sucks. And I really, really hope that happens for y'all. Rob Reel says, really miss going to the movies. We had a Regal pass, my wife and I, and we were able to watch a ton of movies a year ago. Can't wait to do that again. For sure. This is a movie podcast after all, so we all want to go to movies again. Zach Pointer, our old friend in Japan, says, I'll be going to Universal Studios Japan on the 12th through 15th of this month. Of course, taking precautions. Also, my son will be starting elementary school. And movie-related, watching one movie a month in genres I don't normally care to watch. That's a good goal.
Mm-hmm.
Expand those horizons.
Did you watch anything really great over the holiday, Chuck? There was a few really good ones that came out.
Yeah, you know what, Noel? We got to stream this coming up. So
oh, we do. Okay, I'm gonna hold off. Great.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about those.
Wonderful.
So let me read a couple of more of these, and then we'll move on to our next thing. There's a lot of really good ones. Isabel Jimenez says, "Getting married to my best friend and favorite person in the world, September 30th." Isabel, congratulations. That's great. I don't know why we're not invited, Noel. Quite frankly, but that's fine. Do you get wedding invites from listeners?
No, I haven't. I haven't ever been invited to a listener wedding.
Josh and I get them a lot.
That's nice.
Always sign the card and send it back with regrets. But
that's sweet, though.
One of these days, I might just fucking drop in on someone's wedding.
You should do it, man. Weddings are fun. Especially after COVID, like that'll be just like an absolute breath of fresh air. You know, with all the buffet stuff and like the booze, free booze, and you're married. I was gonna say maybe you'll get laid, but that's for
you. You can get laid if you're married.
Well, I know you can, Chuck, but it seems like it wouldn't be advisable.
Yeah, I can't wait to sneeze on a buffet.
Oh, can't wait.
Without worrying about getting someone sick.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be great. Knocking wood, Noel, too. COVID aside, partially it's because of that I haven't been sick. But the year previous, I guess 2019, I didn't get sick. So I'm working on my third year here of not even having so much as a cold. Like I usually get bronchitis once a year.
I do
and
too. Like
the stomach flu really bad once a year. But 2019, I was living right, I guess.
Well, I think I told you that I tested positive for the antibody, and the only
what?
Time.
Yeah. You did not.
Okay. Well, I did. But listen, I was in New York in March, like when the shit hit the fan, like right when everything, and I was at a conference.
Yeah, I was there too.
Yeah, but I was at this like on air conference, and it was like there was an email that came through 2 weeks later. Like Ira Glass was there, like Michael Barbaro was there. All these like big NPR and podcast people were there. What's his name? Black Thought from The Roots and Talib Kweli. And an email came through from the organizers 2 weeks later that there had been multiple exposures there, and that people and I was sick. I was already sick with that yearly bronchitis you're talking about, so I didn't think anything of it. But I didn't have so much as a sniffle the rest of the year, and then I tested, you know, just went and got blood work, and they ran that test, and they said I had it. And you can have the antibodies last as long as a year. They don't really know how long they stick around, so that's the only exposure event that I've had, and that had to have been it. So
you tested for antibodies recently?
It was like maybe like 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish up with Brandy McDonald. How about this? Being back in church, I direct our children's ministry program and really miss working with the kids directly. I'm glad that our church has chosen to be virtual to keep our community safe, but I can't wait until we are able to be together again. Brandy, that's great. I love it. I know church is important to a lot of people, and having to give up that community has been hard for a lot of people. So I hope you get to get back to it soon. That's wonderful.
For sure.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
All right, Noel, we're going to move on to a Crusher post.
Yeah.
This is from Joel Krahn, K-R-A-H-N, and he asked this question, Noel, that I thought was really good. What is the most obscure movie you've ever seen? Like, have you ever seen anything you would bet money nobody else has seen in this group? Can you think of I feel like you have some pretty obscure taste.
I do, I suppose. Let me hear a few. I'm going to rack my brain.
Tad Fouch says, Branded, and it sucked.
Branded. Is that a Western? Sounds like it must be a Western.
I don't know. It sounds like it could be. Karen Schlump Hughes, one of our old friends, says, Old Boy, but I know you guys have seen it. All right. And I guess the question is, most obscure movie you've seen doesn't necessarily mean it's obscure to everyone, but it's obscure to Karen.
Yeah. I would argue that Old Boy is one of the most mainstream Korean
obscure
films.
Movies.
Well, that's not, I don't know. Like, a Korean director just won the fucking Oscar last year. So I think certainly not as niche as it maybe once was. But when Old Boy came out, it certainly was like under the radar, but it caught on. I mean, Spike Lee remade it, which I think is ridiculous because what are people afraid to read a subtitle or two?
That's true. That is true, Noel. But you know, like we said, that's Karen's take. Mm-hmm. So obscure to her, mm-hmm. to horror.
Obscure. So that's so relative. I'm having a hard time with that. Like, you know, infamously, when I did the list game with you, I listed a bunch of kind of obscure movies and they weren't obscure to me, but I guess to know whether something's obscure or not, you kind of have to compare it to like other people's knowledge, you know? So I don't know. Maybe probably some weird niche Asian film I think this is actually one that you had seen, that Tetsuo the Iron Man. You said you saw that in college.
Very obscure.
That is pretty obscure. I would say that's pretty obscure.
Yeah, agreed. Sophie Fowler says, The Wizard of Speed and Time.
Never heard of it.
And the cover looks great. It looks like fucking Josh with Shelley Long. Google that real quick and tell me that poster. Look up the poster. I don't even know who it is, but the poster looks like a deranged Josh in a wizard outfit.
Oh my God, it so does.
Doesn't it?
It so does.
A little bit?
Yeah. I love this poster, though. It gives me real, like, Phantom of the Paradise vibes. Like, that kind of, like, schlocky sci-fi weirdo Hollywood type thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It looks like it has a good soundtrack because I'm seeing it on vinyl on Discogs.
Oh, very nice. Noel, I bought 40 records over Christmas.
I probably did too, but I don't know if I told you what I've been doing is I've been making a lot of music and I've been sampling a lot from weird, talk about obscure. I go to thrift stores and just dig through the, you know, dollar record bins. And I've been buying all these like weird niche Christian country records from like the 70s that are all very regional because clearly someone dies and then they sell their whole collection to like Goodwill or give it to them. And so they'll be like, you know, all you've probably seen these. They're always this family bands and they're always wearing the same identical suits and the women all have the same identical kind of beehive haircut and they're really high production value. I obviously recorded them in really nice studios and great singing and just kind of gospel-y. But then I've also been getting a lot of like sound effects records, like children's records. Like I got a really cool Alice in Wonderland audiobook from like the 70s and sample it, get an idea, make a little loop and then build something around it. It's been a really fun way to get inspiration for making music.
I love it. Look at you, Reggie Watts.
Mm-hmm. Hit me.
Haley Q. Levin says, Margie, one of my favorite Gene Crane movies. Never heard of it. Sounds obscure. Jason Wallace James Baker. Welcome to the show, Jason Wallace James Baker. After struggling through The Master and Margarita by Bulgakov, I watched the film version in my university library. The large screen TV opened to people passing by as I watched full frontal nudity and cats turning into people, very low budget. I was even more confused than when reading the book. I've never heard of that.
Cat Master people? Margarita. Are we talking about?
No.
No. I just heard Master, cats turning into people. What's the name of the movie?
Master and Margarita.
What the hell? What a name for a movie about cats turning into people and full frontal nudity that is.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Kirsten Talker says, possibly Farinelli. Yeah, I know this movie. It's about the castrato singer. She said, watch by myself in the Chanel Theater, Uni Queensland, $4 student ticket. I remember Farinelli.
Hmm, never heard of it. These are all very much under or over my radar.
Yeah, for sure. Christopher Kearley says, Zerom, an old 90s Japanese sci-fi action horror film. Sounds like straight up your alley, Noel.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know that either. I'm writing all these down, by the way. These all sound fun.
Z-E-I-R-A-M, Zerom.
Oh, I could tell just from there. I know that word. Just kidding.
Old friend David Barlow says, The Castle. It's Australian.
I know that one. That's actually on Netflix. It's a fantasy sword and sorcery type deal, I believe.
Okay. Apparently, C.E. Lorimer chimed in and said that it's a classic in Australia. I love that. Let me see here.
Oh, no. Never mind. It's not. I'm thinking of something else. It looks like a comedy of some sort called The Castle. It says it's this year's Full Monty. What year was that? Remember the Full Monty, Chuck?
Sure.
That was a fun movie. Speaking of which, and music kind of related movies last night, I watched Hedwig for the first time in probably a decade last night with my lady friend, and it held up. And John Cameron Mitchell, you know, friend of the show, he had texted me. He's really, you know, politically active, and he texted me like at 2 a.m. the night of the runoff, saying like, "Good job, go Georgia," or like, "or nail biting, whatever," you know. And then I texted him back the next day, and I hadn't heard anything. And then right as we were watching this movie, and she'd never seen it, we kind of like were just like in the throes of like excited about this movie. And then he texted me back, and then I was we'd had a few whiskeys, and I was like, "Can I call you really quick, John? I just need to hear your voice." And we chatted for a minute.
That's great.
He's in LA right now working on some stuff, but he's just the sweetest man. I just absolutely adore that guy, and just so talented and lovely.
That's great. When you called him, did he go, 6 inches forward and 5 inches back? I got it.
Yeah, exactly. No, he did not. But that is my ringtone.
Is it really?
No, but it would be a good one.
Tanya Boyd says, Babes in Toyland, the 1961 version, although knowing this group, maybe not so obscure. Hmm. The Danger Oven, Gail Kuhn says, I would normally say yes, but in this group, nah, she's not even trying.
That's funny.
That's lazy, Gail. Just lazy. You know what she did? Hmm. She and her husband sent me a Home Alone 2 Christmas dove for my tree.
Oh, that's the one you got from the Duncan's toy chest.
That's right. It was a very, very sweet gift. And she then heard the episode after she sent it when I talked about how much I hated the movie and felt bad about her gift. And I said, Kuntz, that makes the gift better. It makes it funny and fun now when I look at that bird on my tree how much I hate that movie, I thought it genuinely made it like a more fun gift. So
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. We got to shout out Aaron Cooper too. Coop usually sends us printouts, large sort of foam core printouts of the great Photoshops that he does of us. And those are great. But this year, because of, I think, shipping large things, he opted to put together a hardbound book that looks identically like our Stuff You Should Know book and looks like a real book of the Photoshops that he did for us this year.
Oh, cool.
And it's amazing and cool looking. I'll post a picture of it along with a Last Chance Garage magnet and a Jaws magnet. And it made me tear up. It was so great.
That's that lovely. Coop
has been such a good friend all these years, and that he is so talented and took the time to put this thing out. I need to send you a picture of it and all. It's really, really something else.
I can't wait to see it. I got a couple of really sweet messages on Instagram over the holiday. Gosh, I'm so bad at like just thinking of these on the spot and not remembering names, but it was a listener who was just saying how like they appreciated my like honesty about my, you know, divorce situation and like my, yeah, my kid and all that. And I'm sure you get stuff like that too, because I think what I love about this show is I am able to be open in a way that I maybe would not be on like Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, because mm-hmm. it's much more like, not that we're not fact driven, but that shows just there's three of us, first of all, and we don't ever want to make it like a me situation. And it's more
we get
service.
Personal here.
We get personal. And I think that's part of why the community is so, so great, because they, I don't know, if when I hear from people telling me that, it's as meaningful to me as I think the show is to them. And I know that sounds like a platitude, but it really is the truth.
Yeah, I think I used to get emails a lot when I talked about being a late bedwetter on Stuff You Should Know, from a lot of parents who said their kids really, it really helped to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone they look up to was like, I was a late bedwetter. What are you going to do? And that made me feel really good. Can't help it, you know?
Totally.
I went to bed till I was like 11.
I mean, I did till I was...
Not every night, but...
No. But I did till I was probably about 9 or 10.
Oh. Well, you were a late bedwetter, too.
Yeah. All right. Late bedwetters unite.
That's right. We should sleep together and pee on each other.
I also one time... I used to sleepwalk when I was younger. And one time I sleepwalked into my dad's room and peed in his bedside table drawer.
Take that, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's different than the... I've never done this, but I've heard stories and had friends that... That middle of the night drunk and you get up and you like puke in the closet because you think it's a bathroom, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Not a good look.
No, sorry.
Jason Ferber says, once we're warriors, great movie. Not sure how obscure it is. Jason, you know, I think to a certain demographic, it's fairly obscure. I saw it. And it was, if you're from New Zealand, obviously, and even Australia, I think it's not obscure, but it wasn't mainstream.
I've never heard of it.
Let me see here. Once We're Warriors. Ooh, great movie, Noel.
Yeah, okay.
Diane, about the Maori people, modern day Maori and modern day for whenever that was, which was, I feel like it was like early 90s, mid 90s. Diana Merrill says, how about Mirror Mask? Has anyone else seen this creepy Neil Gaiman film?
Yeah, it's not good. I wanted it to be so good because it's actually not Neil Gaiman either. It's Dave McKean, who did the cover art for all the Sandman comics, or for at least the graphic novel collections, and I'm pretty sure for the individual issues too. But he does this really cool kind of collagey combination of like wood and actual photo stuff, and then also illustration. But this movie, it was sort of like a, I don't know, Through the Looking Glass kind of Alice in Wonderland-y type adventure, a little labyrinthy, but it just had all this really bad, funky looking CGI, and I just couldn't get over that. And it was just like, I don't know, something I wanted to like it so much because I'm a big fan of his work, but narratively and also with the visuals, it really struggled. And it was so weird because he's such a visceral artist in his like 2D work that I was surprised he decided to go so like Uncanny Valley CGI. Mm, it was very strange.
Interesting.
But I have seen it, and I wanted to like it. Maybe I'll give it another shot, but I remember not liking it.
And by the way, Noel, written by Neil Gaiman, so...
It was written by... Okay, I thought for some reason I didn't think he'd written it. That makes sense. Great.
Everyone, stop emailing us. On-air corrections. It's happening.
It is happening.
Peter Comerford, welcome to the show, Peter. I don't think I know you. It says, Kitchen Stories, wonderful, little charming, quirky foreign film.
Mm-hmm. No, don't know.
I like kitchens, mm-hmm. and I like stories. Old friend Caroline Gaston says, I don't know how obscure it is, but it's hard to find and definitely weird. Songs from the Second Floor. Okay. Never heard of it? Have you?
Nope, I have not.
All right. We'll call that obscure then. Carly Padovani Petit says, or Pettit says, PMS Cop. Hilariously horrible horror. Oh, that sounds interesting. Jennifer Lewis says, do documentaries count? Well, sure. I just watched Titty Cut Follies today. It's about conditions in a facility for the criminally insane in Massachusetts around 1967. TCM just premiered it in 2020, and it was practically banned for 20 years.
Yeah, that's one that Casey Pegram talked about on a that recent episode.
Casey's alley.
No, it might not have been on Movie Crush. It might have been on Ridiculous History, but I can't remember his name, but it's a filmmaker who is known for doing these really deep dives into very specific kind of worlds. Like he just came
Frederick
out with
Wiseman.
One. Yeah, Wiseman. He just came out with one that did really well. That's very, very long, and it's about like local like government, like state government or something. Like something that sounds really boring on paper, but like it actually is supposed to be fantastic. I think it's called City Hall, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. This Titty Cut Folly seems really interesting.
Yeah.
And does not look super fun.
Yeah. Casey mentioned that one as his like seminal work.
Oh, really? Interesting. All right. Let's go through a few more of these. Ellen Day, The Thief of Baghdad, 1940 version. Mm. Pam Geyser says, Thou Wast Mild and Lovely. Saw it at the 2014 Stars Film Festival in Denver, and it was weird.
Interesting.
Stacey Ellsworth says Zero Patience, a movie about a movie musical about AIDS. Never heard of that.
Nope.
Charles Martin Akers, our oldest pal, says The Crows Have Eyes. Haven't heard of that.
Cool name.
Boy, there's a lot of obscure stuff in here. Heidi Laumann says The Vertical Ray of the Sun. My absolute favorite film, Vertical Ray of the Sun. Do you not even bother spelling things right anymore, Noel? Because you know it'll...
on your phone?
It'll find what you want.
Oh, yeah, of course. I try. I just have a really clunky keyboard that's like from the 90s or something, and it's like terrible, and it doesn't have good action, so I often accidentally hit the wrong key, so I do depend on Instant to help me out with that.
Sure. By the way, when I asked Joel if I could use this, he went, hell yeah. So I'm glad this is makes you happy, Joel. All right, we'll do one more. Let me see. John B. McCarty says, Aguirre, The Wrath of God, a German film about a Spanish conquistador in Peru. Still don't know what happened.
That's by our boy Werner. That's a Werner.
Oh, is that a Werner?
It's a Werner, and it's stars Klaus Kinski.
Yeah, Klaus Kinski.
And he plays like a conquistador who ventures into, is it Peru, he said? Is that right?
He went to Peru.
To the heart of darkness to find his inner something. I should have thought this out better before I started.
But they have very good wine and organ meat.
And I remember at the end of the film, he's on a raft with a monkey on his shoulder.
Hey, that's your one great imitation. I love it.
I got a million of them, man.
Do one more. Who's your next best?
No, I don't. I'm not a monkey. I'm not.
Who's number two? Monkey
you.
Dance.
All right. I can do Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force pretty well.
No, and Dave Willis is a friend. No, yeah. You better nail this.
Hey, it's me, Meatwad. Hey. What's up, homies? Where's my running crew? Yoo-hoo, running crew!
Come on. That's pretty fucking good, Noel. I gotta say, that really surprised me. It was weird seeing that voice coming out of your face.
Yeah, man, you know.
Well done. All right, we're going to wrap that one up and spank it on the bottom. And we're leaving that up, everyone. That's on the Crushers page. You can just word search obscure from the January 3rd post if you want to... If you want to get a nice list going of obscure movies that you want to check out.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
And now let's finish up with a little stream this. I saw a couple of movies lately that I want to recommend that I did post on the page. One is called First Cow.
Oh, God, that's one I want to see. Made so many year-end lists. Was it wonderful?
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's really great. It is directed by Kelly Reichert, and she has put together quite a career making these very small, independent films that are great.
Old and, Joy, which I think we both love.
Yeah. Old Joy. Fantastic. I think that was her first one with Will Oldham himself.
Will Oldham, yes, sir.
But First Cow is awesome. It is very, she also makes these very realistic period pieces that don't feel like movies. And First Cow is awesome. It's very heartwarming and it's a very sort of slow, very subtle story. And it's just, it's a movie like 2 days later, you're like, why am I still thinking about this movie?
Yep.
One of those. And I also watched, Emily and I watched all of this stuff together. Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which was one of the best movies I've seen in years. It was fantastic.
Oh my God. That's a singing, praise there. I have to check that out. I've heard the name and I love it. But I have not seen it and I've only, go ahead.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Cool. Don't tell me anything. I can't wait to check it out.
No, you don't have to know anything from 2019. I think maybe in the States, 2020, I might be wrong, but from filmmaker, Celine, Siama, and I'm sure I probably mispronounced that, but it's a French film, subtitled, and great.
There's a bunch that I found out about at the end of the year. There's a really great podcast called Film Spotting. If you haven't checked out, I highly recommend. It's some critics from Chicago. One of them, I think, works for the Tribune, and one of them works for the other Chicago paper. Is that the Sun-Times? Really, really smart. They did really good, like, multifaceted lists around different, like, categories, and they all do really cool year-end lists with, like, some of their colleagues. And First Cow made the list a lot and won a series of films by a filmmaker that I love but need to spend more time with, Steve McQueen. He came out this year with like five films, three of which I think are short on the short side, but he calls it the Small Axe series or something like that. And one of them is called Mangrove, which is the one that seemed to like, they kind of broke them out because they're all different. And that seemed to make a lot of people's top five. And then Lover's Rock, Red, White, and Blue, Alex Weedle, and Education. And he did it for the BBC, and they all have different writers, and they're all surrounding stories around the West Indian immigrant communities in London in the 60s and 70s. And Steve McQueen, famous obviously for winning all the Oscars for 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
And also, you know, he made a couple movies with...
He did Shame.
He did with Shame.
Fassbender.
Yeah, he did Shame with Fassbender. He did another one with Fassbender, too.
Hunger.
Yeah, that's the one where he's... One of the ones where he's really ashamed. The other one's the one where he's really hungry, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, that was so dry that it sounded like I was being serious. But yeah, love Steve McQueen. Love the fact that he kept the name Steve McQueen as his professional name.
Sure.
Being such a ubiquitous Hollywood name. And then, you know, now he's the other Steve McQueen. But I really want to see that. One that I saw and that I just adore is Soul, the new Pixar movie.
I didn't see it yet.
It made me feel, oh my God, Chuck, it made me feel, you know, all those movies are like, you know, like designed, you know, from the ground up to make you feel all the feels. But this one rang particularly strong with me because it's about passion and music. It's about your life taking a slightly different path than maybe you expected. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be a rock star or be like a professional musician. That didn't happen. Not that I can't still make music and put stuff out and have a good time with it, but I ended up finding my way to a career where I can't actually reach people and touch people and connect with people, and that's really meaningful to me, and I wasn't expecting that. This movie is about a similar kind of thing where it's like you think you're heading in this one direction and that's your purpose, and then you realize all along you were meant for this other thing, or there really are no rules. And it's also just really trippy and beautiful. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross have been killing it, by the way.
Yeah,
on
man.
Scores. And they're all so different. And then, sorry, last one is Mank, the new David Fincher movie.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh my
Shit,
God.
That's got to happen
my
soon.
My friend. It is, if you're, which I know you are, a student and a lover of old Hollywood and just all the names that you've heard, like Irving J. Thalberg and like, you know, all these like, you know, producers that like, you know, made the movies that, you know, made history, basically like Wizard of Oz and all that kind of stuff. Big, huge, like nostalgia blast, but also funny and beautifully shot. It looks just like an old movie from like the 50s or 60s, no, more like 40s or 50s. And the writing is spot on. Gary Oldman, as always, just slays it. And what's her name from Big Love? Amanda Seyfried, or Seyfried, is absolute ingenue. Just gorgeous, quirky, funny, witty, and just like absolutely classic.
She's got the goods.
Oh, she's got the goods. And this movie's got the goods. This is probably easily in my top three for the year.
Yeah, I that was really high on my list, and I forgot about it. You know how that happens.
It does happen. A lot of stuff out there.
I need to keep an actual list. I wind it up with a TV rec. There's a show called Ted Lasso on Apple that is stars Jason Sudeikis. It's a character he originated for promo spots for the British Premier Football League, the soccer league, where he is this the premise of the show is he is a American football coach, kind of a country guy from Kansas that gets hired to go to London and coach a Premier League soccer team. If you've ever seen the baseball movie Major League, it's a bit of a play on that in that the lady who hires him, the team owner, wants the team to fail. And that's kind of all I'll get into. But it is some movie crushers recommended it as something light and fun and heartwarming. Didn't know what to expect. Not the biggest soccer fan. Emily couldn't care less about soccer. We both like Sudeikis well enough, but it's not like we're like, oh my God, it's got Jason Sudeikis. We got to see it. We were just like sort of down lately for a lot of reasons and wanted something that filled us up. And Ted Lasso is fucking great. 30-minute episodes, 10 episodes. We watched it in a week. It is funny. It is heartwarming. It is charming. And just a wonderful show with a lot of heart. Really, really caught us off guard. And I loved every bit of it. It was really, really great.
Cool.
So highly recommend Ted Lasso. It looks and sounds like they're set up for a 3-season run story-wise. And I just can't wait. It's one of those things where like it finished and we were immediately like, shit, like I want to watch it again. Not that I want to watch season two, like, there's something to be said for waiting for something to be done so you can fully satisfy yourself instead of having to wait however many years. Because the same thing happened with The Great, that show I was talking about for Catherine sure. The Great. It ended in, you know, because of COVID, like it in the production schedule, it might be 2 goddamn years before that season 2 comes out.
Oh, that's a big old production, right? Any period piece like that requires so many humans. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they can push it out this year, but I would be very surprised. But yeah, The Great and Ted Lasso. Great shows.
Well, I've got some stuff to add to my list. Obscure stuff.
Yeah.
Nice TV pick there. Really excited to see First Cow. Great to be back, man.
Yeah, good seeing you.
For a new year of crushing.
Absolutely. So hats to beanies off to you. And beanies off to everyone out there.
I was about to doff my hat to you, and then I realized you were referring to the fact that I'm wearing a beanie, which does not have a brim. I reached for a phantom brim to doff my hat, and it was I came up with nothing.
Yeah, I got my beanie. I don't call these beanies. I don't know why I'm saying that. What do you call these? I call them, from being a child, I call them toboggan
knit
caps.
Knit caps.
You say knit cap?
Yeah.
I say toboggan cap from when I was a kid, but everyone just calls them beanies now.
Wait, which but toboggan hats have the little flaps that hang down on the side with the strings.
You know, I'm just telling you what we called it. Okay, I'm not saying we were right.
All right.
Do toboggans technically have those?
I don't know what it's... I thought toboggan was a sled.
It is. Toboggan cap. Well, I'm seeing both. Okay. I'm seeing those little brim caps with the ear flaps, and seeing beanies.
I have one of those.
Yeah.
Wait, no, never mind. I have one that looks like it should be worn by some sort of like wilderness explorer. Like it's made of wolf's pelt and it has the big flaps and then like the Russian kind of like thing, the fur in the front, you know? Love that.
Yeah, the comrade version. I just typed in toboggan cap for sale to see what was out there. And the first thing I see is like three Confederate flag beanies. So I might buy those to throw them in the fire, Noel.
Fair.
Get a little kindling going.
Get you. Yeah, man. We all need fuel. Keep us warm this season. It's been chilly lately, man.
It has. It's cold as shit. My feet are freezing right now. So I'm going to go warm them up in the microwave. And we'll see everyone next week. It's good to be back.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson. And scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day Savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day Savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.